It's New Year's time. But for the second time in two calendar years, the live music and songwriting community in Toronto, and maybe especially in the east end of Toronto, are suffering a loss. We've lost a really significant member and resource, booster, supporter, flag waver, champion of the local songwriter and live music entertainment industry, business sector in Toronto. You won't hear this on the news. I'm Paul Cross. You might know me as a more scripted and formally produced type podcast creator through my series Crosstalk. Now and then I sit down unscripted on a microphone of whatever choice based on wherever I am at the time, and I try to go live and off script to talk about something I think is important at the moment. And today I'm choosing to sit outside on the back patio. It's a nice day for early winter. It's not very cold. You may hear some neighborhood sounds out here in Old East York. Birds, or maybe neighbors shoveling snow, or something passing by the neighborhood. And it's kind of fitting because the person I want to talk about today loved East York and lived in East York for many, many years, and would write about singers, songwriters, musicians, venues, bar owners, clubs, not just in East York and along the Danforth and the beach in East Toronto and Scarborough, but of course downtown and Queen Street West and Kensington and College and St. Clair West and all kinds of the Junction, all kinds of music communities in Toronto. So it was Monday, the 28th, I believe, when I heard the news that a fellow by the name of Gary Webb Proctor, had passed away. Gary was known throughout the music community in Toronto as Gary 17. It's a name he chose many years ago, decades ago, I understand. He was a songwriter. He was a publisher. He was a music writer. He was an entrepreneur. He started Toronto Moon magazine, which came after he had a paper publication called Toronto Tonight. Which I believe he sold the name for some years ago, and came back with an online magazine, Toronto Moon. And Gary wrote about local songwriters. He wrote about venues that hosted songwriters. Gary ran open mic nights at various bars throughout Toronto over many, many years, giving many people a chance to play who had not previously perhaps had a chance to play, or giving someone their first chance to be heard in the spotlight because perhaps he had heard them as a guest at one of his open mics and thought, there's somebody I should pay some more attention to and I should do something to promote a little. When I say promote, Gary would write about you. He would write about your songs. He would write about your new album, your new CD, your new recording of whatever form it took. And he would tell stories about it. And I guess that's how I met Gary, was at an open mic. I remember him in my years since I started slinging guitar on my back about 15, 16 years ago or so. I remember him running open stage, open mic nights at various bars along the Danforth and not far from the Danforth, east of the Don Valley. And places like the Renaissance Cafe, which is no longer there, near East Lynn Park on the Danforth, west of Woodbine. At Terry O's, sports type pub on the Danforth up near Broadview. At the California Tavern at Pape and Mortimer. At the King's Belly Tavern up on Donlands near O'Connor. At Remarks on Coxwell, south of O'Connor. And at many other places I'm not going to think of, and I'm not going to remember or be aware of at this time. But Gary gave everybody a chance to play. And I'd like to talk about them once he had heard them. The next time you came to play at one of Gary's open mics, he had to tell a story about meeting you or something you played the first time. And if you started writing songs or you were known to be a writer of songs, he would talk about your songs, egging you on to make sure you played one of those songs, even if that perhaps you thought you came into the place with a different set list in your head for your three songs that you were going to play that night. Gary would listen to people and say, there's somebody I want to be heard more, and I'm going to ask that person to feature at my open mic next week, which means I'm going to give them a half hour to play whatever they want. You know, Gary was the first person ever to ask me to feature at an open mic night. And I guess I'm really grateful for that, you know? I'm really grateful for that. Gary would write really generous things about songwriters. Here's something he wrote about my friend Michael Barr. And I can't say without talking about Michael Barr, and here I go on a tangent already. Gary 17 introduced me to Pete Otis. Pete Otis was an entrepreneur, songwriter, had a career with SoCan. In his retirement, wanted to start promoting local songwriters, putting out compilation recordings, arranging compilation recordings of various songwriters throughout Toronto. I think he put out four compilation discs and two albums of his own in that time. I was fortunate to be invited to be on two of Pete's compilation albums. The first one for my song, You Broke My Radio, and the second time my song was I Would Fly. But I met Pete Otis through Gary 17 at one of Gary 17's open mics, and I believe it was at the California, which is not far from where Pete lived. Through Pete and possibly through Gary about the same time, I met Michael Barr. Michael Barr and I have become very good friends. When Michael Barr came out with an album in 2016 called Sofa on the Curb, Gary wrote a glowing review in some depth, and I won't go into it, but I'll just give you a taste of the way he would write. He says, it's not yet been 6 years since I first met rootsy pop songwriter Michael Barr in March of 2011. When he came out to a second week of an open stage I had started at Terry O's, close to home for him on Danforth Avenue near Broadview. Pretty much since that night, and certainly by week 10 on May 18 of that year, when he did the first of several show features for me over the years since, I've been bugging him to record your originals and release a CD. And now he finally has. And I'm happy to say it was worth the wait. And then he goes on to talk about Michael and his music. And that's the kind of thing Gary would do. You noted there, Gary indicated he was aware when he had met Michael, and he remembered conversations with Michael. And that's the kind of story he would write about all kinds of songwriters throughout Toronto. Now, you'd be remiss if you didn't tell also part of the story about Gary 17 being his relationship fractured on many occasions with club and bar owners in the city. When Gary found a new club he thought was going to be a good place for an open mic, I think he had one about 20 years ago at the Dora Keo on Danforth. When he found a place that he thought was going to be a good venue for an open mic because he liked the sight lines, he liked the sound system, he liked the feel of the room based on the clientele, And he was particularly concerned that there were not a lot of TVs, or that there was not sports or news blaring on TVs when there were going to be performers. He would write really generous, nice things about those rooms. He would talk about the food and the service and how friendly the owners were and the staff and all that kind of thing. But man, if he didn't like something, he would also really write about what was wrong with the place. How inept the management was. How they had no clue about how to serve. Why couldn't they post who was going to play? Why couldn't they bother letting people know if they had canceled an event for a certain night? Why couldn't they get some lighting on the stage? Why couldn't they turn down the TVs? And on and on. And every time Gary started an open mic at another venue, I would wonder, how long will this one last? Because inevitably something will happen here, I'm sure. He had one in the neighborhood at Harut on Danforth for some time, and that was a really nice venue to be in. So Gary did a lot for songwriters and for the people who gave songwriters a place to play. And as somebody pointed out, I think it was Julian Taylor in Facebook, as somebody pointed out, all Gary wanted in return was that people would subscribe to his magazine. And I have for many years. And I'm glad. It was a daily resource for me. I would check it every day. I couldn't believe the listings he would have. Sometimes there would be over 200 shows throughout the Toronto and Greater Toronto area. He started reaching out. I think he was trying to cover from as far west as Cambridge to as far east as Oshawa and up into cottage country at times, it seems. Covering all these shows he would list. And I often wondered, because he would post in highlighted text with a hyperlink often, he would indicate in his listings clubs and bars that subscribed to his magazine or that were sponsors who would occasionally buy an ad, as with performers and songwriters. But I would especially think of the venues. My goodness, day after day, this publication lists, free of charge, who is playing at your venue. I'm really surprised that you don't have the courtesy to at least subscribe to the publication. I don't know, $50 a year is $50 a year. But I think there was great value there. I think there was great value for the clubs and the bar owners, the restaurateurs who gave space to songwriters and musicians, and great value to the performers and songwriters he wrote about. Gary would write about not just songwriters and music too. If he found particularly campus radio was giving time to songwriters, he would write about that. So I would make sure to tell him. Gary had a kind of not just entrepreneurial sense, but also he wanted a scoop. He wanted to know when something was happening. So I would give him some information. And my students at Humber College do an annual project we call Unsigned, where I have them go out to discover local songwriters who they think should be heard. And they interview them and have them do a live-to-air type performance that we record, and then we package it all into a series of shows and put them on the radio. And Gary would write about that. And here's a little taste of what he wrote, setting up into a long-winded introduction for the series Unsigned. He wrote this in, I'm looking at his TorontoMoon.ca feature from Monday, May 1st, 2017. And here's what he writes in part. Songwriter Paul Cross, in his anthemic ballad, You Broke My Radio, bewails the death of the medium that made the modern music industry possible, that through the magic of the transistor radio and later FM band broadcasting, gave us top 40 charts and made possible the 50-plus years careers of artists as diverse as Bob Dylan, the Rolling Stones, and Cher, to name a few. Entire livelihoods were based on the one-hit wonder. And he goes on. Balladeer Cross's song waxes nostalgic about those days before corporatism infected the playlists and on-air personae, when radio mattered, when getting played on the radio was, more than any other signpost, the signal that an artist had arrived. Teacher Paul Cross, however, the same guy as songwriter Cross, but in his day job as coordinator of the postgraduate radio broadcasting radio certificate program at Humber College, the only one in Canada, is part of a movement that is reclaiming the medium as one of artistic expression thanks to the magic of internet and satellite technology. And he goes on to talk about the series, and I'm just looking at who was listed as being among the local songwriters, including in the series that year. Isaac Bonk, Corin Raymond, Signe Miranda, Connor Chung, Christian Apollo, Holly Ward, Jordan Hart, Freeman Dre, Cleela Arrington, Lucas Stagg, Nicole Coward, and the list goes on and on. So Gary would give coverage to that kind of thing as well. He also started and ran the East York Chronicle, a weekly newspaper, writing about things largely up and down the Danforth and O'Connor and St. Clair and Broadview, that and the beach, that stretch of Toronto. And I want to pick up something here that his brother included in a Facebook posting with details of his passing. I had it bookmarked here. I hope it doesn't take me long to find it. This was written by one of Gary's brothers. He had two. I'm not sure who is the author of this. But in part, he writes on Gary's Facebook page, "Gary wrote a million words, probably more, and most of them were true, even if they often seemed harsh. But he also wrote about love. Gary could not suffer fools, but he was foolish. Gary helped so many people, especially in the music world, but hurt others as well. Gary had an intellect that was boundless, and he knew so much more than you or I, and yet he knew nothing at all. Gary was a ringmaster, conductor, and master planner, and he wore a coat of many colors. He was Batman and Zorro and the Lone Ranger. Gary spent his lifetime tilting his lance against windmills, waging war on the people and ideas he knew to be cruel, with his only goal to make the world a better place. Gary was also a lot of fun. Life is a party, as we say, and he had a way of making you feel that you were the most important part of the show. And that's true. Gary would take 5 minutes to introduce you." Gary's brother goes on, "Gary lived a life, a most different life, but he lived it in the way he wanted, and along the path he garnered respect and admiration for his fire-filled rocket ride. Gone too soon, but never forgotten." Nice words and very fitting from his brother. Gary always wore a tie. He liked to wear a vest. He'd typically have his shirt or his vest emblazoned with the logo of his current publication. He'd wear gloves. He'd wear a utility belt. He'd wear a hat. He'd ride his electric scooter type bike around the Danforth and around the beach. You can see him on the street now and then. Now, as I say, it was Gary who introduced me to Pete Otis. Pete passed just after New Year's Eve on the beginning days of 2019. His final moments spent on stage with his guitar in his hand, at the Black Swan for a New Year's Eve show. His friend Gary passed December 28th. And I'm grateful for the things that people like Gary 17, not that there are many of them, I'm grateful specifically for what Gary 17 has done for songwriters and for music venues in Toronto for many decades. Yeah, and all he wanted in return was for you to read his magazine and subscribe and to be cool. So I lament and mourn and regret another loss to the Toronto musician and songwriter and music community. And even though you should, I know, you won't hear this on the news.